Have you ever had one of those weekends where it was so busy, you had so many things on the go that you were just really happy to get back to work on a Monday? Yeah, me either. But we're ready. We've got lots on the go. In fact, no new cases of COVID-19. Of course, the television is alive with the 700 cases in Ontario today. 700 in Ontario and none here. Borders closed. And again, it comes down to, oh, well, you know, we got to get the economy working, and people are writing op-ed pieces saying, you know, that's not sustainable. I think back to a conversation we had with Keith Leslie. He's a broadcast reporter for years with the Canadian Press, and he, well, shared his story about how his mother at a nursing home in New Brunswick became ill. She was, I believe, diagnosed with a stroke, and the family was trying to get to visit with her, and he said his brother in the Maritimes was able to stay with her. Keith says, coming from Ontario, had to socially isolate for 2 weeks, and he said he missed being able to say the final words to his mom, and that's sad. He said, but hey, man, don't be embarrassed that you are doing an amazing job here in the Maritimes, whether it's just by geography, by good management, or perhaps the hard work and dedication for so many of us to just wear the damn mask and stay away from each other. I got to say, we at the fire hall had our first public event. It wasn't a public event. It was a private event, but there were people in the hall that weren't in my bubble. So, you know, I spent the entire night dressed in a mask, wearing gloves and helping people celebrate a milestone in their life. And never again. That's just too stressful, man. It really is. I mean, you add alcohol, no wonder they changed the liquor laws to adapt to that. And, you know, bar closed at midnight. Everybody out by one. Bar closed at 11:50 and everybody was out by midnight. But that said, you know, I hope they have a happy, wonderful life together. And glad to be there for the celebration. Too bad it was during COVID. Matt Brand is the producer here this afternoon, helping us hold down the control board with his magic fingers and his tasteful fades. Hey, dude.
I don't know but the magic fingers. I'll take the tasteful fade, though.
Well, it's, you know, it's all good. It's all good. You had a good weekend?
Yeah, yeah. Had the kids were on they were away for a night, so that's always a big bonus.
Wow. Okay.
Because then what happens is you don't have to look after them, and it's awesome.
You know, I was actually thinking of that. My sister doesn't ask us to dog sit, because even that's a lot of work if, you know, your dogs have flown the nest, so to speak. So once the kids are gone, people forget. I think that's why you know, people embrace the grandparent thing so well. I mean, we have none, right? No grandkids.
Right.
But I'm thinking, you know, hey, this is great. You get all the benefits of being a parent with none of the responsibility outside. Here's your kid back.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
Spoil them rotten.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have plans?
Do I have plans?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not. It's really not up to me.
Well, no, but it sounds like that's something you're hoping to do in the future.
I hear what my kids are saying and how they talk about it. And, you know, my son is in a different position than my daughter, who's still working on her career. And, you know, not to say my son's not working on his career, but, you know, he loves kids and dogs and all that. But
are you the parent kind of like gently kind of suggesting,
no,
you know, maybe?
No, that they have sex? No. Excuse me?
Procreate? I call it whatever you want.
Well, no, I understand why people get excited about that. You know, I have a friend of mine, and he's got his first granddaughter. You know, it's quite an exciting time for them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or you can take, like, someone else's kids, someone you work with frequently. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm down with that. Can't put them on.
Might have to check with them.
Yeah. That's the big thing with kids, right?
Yeah.
Big thing with kids. Oh, man. So today's show, I was just looking through it. There's a lot of guests. We got a lot of topics to take on.
It's packed.
Yeah. I'm even going to talk about hockey.
Oh,
did you see that?
I did. I was confused, and I was hoping you would explain further.
Okay.
Why is Sheldon talking about hockey?
Well, Hockey Nova Scotia's task force has launched a public survey seeking recommendations to increase diversity and inclusion in hockey. So it says right here, 2:45. So
that's
we'll
good.
Do that. Peggy Cameron, Friends of the Halifax Common. Did you know that this plan for the garage, the parking garage with the QE2 redevelopment, has been changed again? This is the fourth time.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't mean like, no. I meant like, no, I didn't know
Peggy said to me, did you know? And I'm like, nope. I didn't know that. I've been reading a few of the stories, but we'll talk about that.
When did this whole parking garage thing become a fiasco?
Right after it wasn't announced. See, this was the one that was a secret one that the municipality couldn't talk about because there was some kind of, I don't know, confidentiality agreement. They were briefed on it.
Right.
We're told you can't talk about it till it becomes public.
Mm.
That puts them in a spot, doesn't it?
I was trying to remember, like, I honestly, COVID pandemic. Was this before the pandemic, during the pandemic?
No, I think it's the last 6 months-ish. Well, no, it had
feels
to be,
like,
it was before the pandemic because I saw a picture of Paul Vino with a horse.
Right.
And that was down by the paddock, by the riding club.
Now, I don't mean to suggest that this is not an important topic because it is.
Yeah.
However, there was a time when this was like the topic.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then there was a pandemic and people's priorities changed a little bit, I would say.
A lot of it, I think. That's fair assessment, fair analysis.
Okay, good.
Good. We're both on the same page here.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Dontremont. At 1:30, the fisheries, Liberals MPs speaking out, several of them members of the Liberal Party here in Atlantic Canada have said, hey, come on, government, let's get this together. Let's help out. Let's make this happen. This is treaty rights. This is reconciliation. Let's get some reconciliation. So why some, not all? I mean, on Friday, was it Friday? I don't know what day it was. One day last week. Oh, it was Thursday.
There was after a hurricane last week. The whole thing was just kind
of... Speech from the throne. And Andy Fillmore said, hey, I could outline some of the programs and stuff. Would you like me to do that? And I said, no, I have other questions. But thanks for offering. And part of it was, you know, reacting to this fishery thing. I say fishery thing. This is about constitutional rights from the Indigenous people who were here first. And we hear we are on unceded territory. That's what that's about. Every bit of it.
Yep.
It's not just a catchy thing you hear. A little thing that people say.
Well, I mean, but sometimes it is, unfortunately, a catchy thing that we hear.
In Chibukduk.
Yeah.
Trish Smith, the elections coordinator for HRM, going to talk to us about the voter information letter. Are you on the list, Matt? Did you find out if you're on the list yet? Did you check to see if you were on the list?
I didn't, but I'm going to stay tuned to Trish and find out more.
I called for our municipality. Actually, I sent an email. You needed your date of birth, your mailing address, and they can go, yep, you're on the list. Everything's good. So that's that simple.
Good. We had someone call in during the open hour on last show to ask that question. We didn't know.
Oh, okay.
So if you're listening, we have your answer 2 hours later.
At 1:15. When news breaks, we'll work at it till we get it fixed. Dr. Robin McCory, we put the call in on Friday when we learned that they were going to add this billing of availability so you could speak to your doctor on the phone and they would be paid. It was supposed to expire 2 days from now. Now, it expires December 31st, 2020. Unless if I didn't read this wrong, that doesn't seem like it's forever. That seems like it's a limited time offer. Why is that? What's wrong with it? If it's working, why are we going to only extend it to December 31st? Maybe there's a good reason. Maybe it's still being discussed. Maybe there's still some chance that it will be extended.
Maybe it can only be done yearly. I don't know.
Like the state of emergency. They can only renew it for 2 weeks at a time. Right on.
It's just some bureaucratic red tape, Sheldon. I'm sure that's all it is.
Well, we'll find
out.
I
have no idea.
We'll break that. We'll crack that egg when we get to it at 1 o'clock. And Moshe Lander. And actually, I reached out to one.
Sports heavy.
Yeah, I know. Last week to say, hey, can you come on the show to talk about, and I forget what it was. And then I sent back a note before he answered me to say, sorry, I already found somebody for that spot. I was like, aw. Like, but we can still talk about NHL. We can talk about the Moosehead season opens this Friday at the Scotiabank Center in person. People will be there cheering. I was stressed out at the fire hall with 100 people. I can imagine it's going to be.
So you're not going to the game? Is that what I gather?
I'll listen to it on the radio. Moshe Lander is our guest. We're going to be right back after this. You're listening to News 95.7. It's the Sheldon McLeod Show here with Matt Brand as producer. Well, on the grand scheme of things, the grand vision of this speech from the throne, that's why Moshe Lander was, well, on your television last week during the TV news and all news networks updates. Thought there could be a conversation as well about what's happening with the start of the regular season for the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. Well, there's nothing regular about it, but it will happen on Friday, and there will be people in the stands. And I know people are saying, the NHL seems to be working with their bubble, so maybe, just maybe, there is hope. Moshe Lander, I'm here Apologizing, I meant 1245. My bad. I'm sorry about that, man. Moshe Lander is an economist with Concordia University as well as at Dalhousie here in Halifax. Good day to you, sir.
Hello. I was thinking that just time stands still, and so I thought that maybe it just slipped by.
No, I'm just an idiot. I was in a hurry and sent you that text last week and forgot that 1230 to 1245. I'm usually chatting up Matt Brand about what's happening in the world, and that's what we were doing, and then I saw your text and went, oops, oops. Oops. So no one's saying oops about the NHL bubble.
No, you know what? Edmonton and Toronto pulled it off. You know, I think as long as nothing happens in the next 48 to 72 hours, then they have a real success on their hands. And I think they've set the template then for the World Juniors in December and for whatever the next hockey season is going to look like in 2021.
A few people are saying it's weird watching hockey this time of the year in this way, and then of course, you know, baseball and basketball. I'm just wondering when the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League said they were going to do it, and they're a little different than the NHL plan, but they're actually bringing people into the stadium. There are people coming to the stands for the game on Friday. Moshe, any thoughts as to, you know, where they should look to make a plan for the future based on whatever happens the first few days?
You know, the NFL is trying it. Of course, they're mostly open-air stadiums, and it's on a stadium-to-stadium basis. So it's not quite the template, but it is possible. And I think maybe there's a little bit of a difference here, too, between the Q and the NHL, right? The NHL are, to some extent, you know, fully grown adults that are paid, to be professionals. Q are, you know, teenagers that are often away from home and maybe have kind of a different sort of emotional and psychological struggle with what's going on. And so I think maybe allowing in, you know, a few hundred fans per section type thing isn't the worst thing in the world to try as a starting point. And the other thing, too, from a financial standpoint, is a lot of those Q franchises, like all CHL franchises, are very precariously balanced in terms of survival, even at the best of times. So asking them to play a season where there's no fans would certainly do a lot of damage to a lot of teams.
Yeah, we were, when the first were announcing that the Q was going to resume a season, that there were questions about the venue and whether or not it made sense to put them in the Scotiabank Center with its capacity compared to somewhere like a Halifax Forum or a BMO Center, where, you know, obviously, you I don't know what the economic model is, but for any team to have the Scotiabank Center, that you need seats, you need bums in seats to pay for it.
Absolutely. And you know, from the other end of it, too, even the smaller venues are going to have a difficult time making a go of it as well, because even if you're going to try and put fans into those arenas, the fact is that they're going to be even more constrained in how many they can put in. So it's kind of a top to bottom sort of every franchise is in some degree of financial straits if they can't put anybody in the seats. And so I think it's maybe one of those things that, as long as people understand the risks, as long as they're being forced to wear masks and, you know, kind of use separate concession stands and separate washrooms and separate entrance points, look, as a starting point, give it a shot and see where it goes. If everybody understands the risks involved, then give it a try.
Well, I got to say, the Halifax Wanderers went to the Premier League championship game, but they did a bubble on Prince Edward Island, and I guess that also seemed to work for them.
The bubble does seem to be working, and you know, even baseball has come around to it. You know, at the end of whatever was their regular season, and they realized that they need to bubble up for the playoffs. So I think this is the way that we're going to see sports progress in 2021. I don't see any way that they're going to be allowing these people to travel the amount that they do in the short amount of time frame. The NFL hasn't done it, but on some level, they can maybe pull it off better than other sports because they're only playing once a week. And then when you add in a bye week here and, you know, every alternate week is kind of at home, there's maybe a little more safety there. But sports where you're playing multiple games a week, it's not feasible to have them traveling all over the place. It's increasing the risk.
Moshe Lander is here with us, and we're talking economics, we're talking sports, and we're talking in many ways the resumption of pro sports and the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League this Friday. The other reason, obviously, we reached out to you, Moshe, was to talk about this big document, this long speech given by the Governor General last week about the vision of Canada. You know, it sounds as though the NDP were able to perhaps negotiate, you know, a way to save the government and get some NDP policy on the EI issue or the end of CERB. How how do you figure out the cost of a throne speech, since it's not really about, it's not a menu, it's more of a destination?
Yeah, I think what you've got is a lot of civil servants there that are running models and running simulations and trying to imagine kind of what the various scenarios are. Whenever we hear the throne speech, usually what they're going to present are numbers as if they're facts, and it's anything but that. It's usually a range of figures, and those ranges could be in the millions, if not tens or hundreds of millions of dollars, based on various scenarios. How fast does the economy grow? How fast does unemployment come down? And so you really are just kind of looking into a crystal ball and making best guesses. But because you want to sound authoritative when you present it in Parliament, they usually present it as this is kind of the way things are going to play out. I think all of us understand right now that all of those assumptions are heroic on some level, because we don't know what next month is going to look like, let alone 2, 5, 10 years out from now.
Yeah, and I've, so many questions about where we head and how many of these economic benchmarks we hear about, debt ratio to GDP and all of the things that would normally be used to assess where government sits, where their finances are. But the entire world is dealing with this. So what's happening with the world market when it comes to credit and credit ratings?
Yeah, I think that, credit ratings are going to have to fall at some point for a variety of countries, right? The idea that you do whatever you can to save the patient from dying, it was kind of the first wave. Hmm. The second wave now is, all right, if this is going to be kind of a fact for the next year, 2 years, how do we do this in a way that doesn't push a lot of countries to the brink? Credit rating agencies are going to watch to see that, look, you're allowed to spend excessively as a way of trying to keep the economy afloat, but you've got to make sure that spending is done in a way that adds to, say, long-run productive capacity, right? So as a kind of crappy sort of analogy, if you want to borrow on your line of credit and take a Vegas vacation getaway, hey, short-term fun, but long-term pain. If you want to use that line of credit to finance getting an MBA or to go further your education or to build onto your home or something so that you can continue to live there, that's maybe a more justifiable expenditure. So I think that they're going to be looking at governments and saying, if you're just spending money, on a day-to-day basis with no long-term benefit, but that's not as helpful as doing something that at least helps Canada's crumbling infrastructure, education, healthcare system issues.
Well, and we do know that there was a promise, before the last election about infrastructure, and I'm not so sure that there were as many plans put into action as we thought there were going to be. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
No, there weren't. Like you said, the NDP has a little bit of its fingerprints over the throne speech here. And, they're going to look much more towards trying to protect people. And in this environment, that's a very admirable sort of thing. But protecting them on a short-term basis is not the same thing as guaranteeing them a future on a long-term basis. And I think that was missing. And it's going to have to be reckoned with at some point. If we get out onto the other side of the pandemic and we find ourselves in a massive amount of debt, then there is not going to be any room for that infrastructure spending. And that's where the danger is going to come in, is that if you don't do it now, when exactly are you planning on doing it? We can't wait 25 years till things get back to something like normal.
Right. Well, we will always, look for your opinions on these stories, and I'll even send you the right time every once in a while. Moja, somebody just sent an email saying there was a stock car race in Antigonish over the weekend, and 1,250 fans in bubbles that showed up, and it went well. So, we're in a pretty good place here in Nova Scotia when it comes to dealing with COVID-19. I think we're probably the envy of many other jurisdictions.
Absolutely, and you keep the rest of Canada on the other side of that border there in Atlantic Canada. It looks like it has a strong 2021 ahead of it.
Moja Lander, enjoy the rest of your Monday afternoon. Thank you, sir.
You as well. Take care.
Moja Lander is an economist with Concordia University and also here at Dalhousie. And, I had another email, too, I wanted to read from Jared. Jared says, good afternoon, Sheldon. I work from home and listen every workday, and I just want you to know how much I love it when Matt Brand is working. Me too. We'll be back in just a minute to hear from Dr. Robin McCory, president of Doctors Nova Scotia, on physician payment codes, #virtual care. We'll be right back.